Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
Soon after telling me I was free to go on my way, the partisan commander Carescu brought to me the promised guide, Violeta Georgios. She stood in front of me and smiled coyly. For my part, I blinked back in astonishment. But for her rough peasant clothes, I could have easily mistaken her for a schoolgirl, rather than a woman who had single-handedly assaulted a German machine gun post and killed its occupants. But she was a beauty who would have done justice to a cinema screen. Her long, dark hair fell loosely about an oval face and across her shoulders. Round, innocent, hazel eyes twinkled at me. But her beauty was offset by the Russian-made submachine gun which was slung over one shoulder and the German Luger automatic at her hip. And I had no doubt she was expert in their use.
My commander has ordered me to guide you to Rajek Pass.
Yes.
And over the mountain goat track which leads down to the coastal plain.
I was very relieved when Carescu told me you know the route. No one was sure it even existed.
It exists, but very few know of it. My family lived high on the slopes when I was small.
Mm-hmm.
My father used to take Anton and me with him when he hunted the mountain goats.
And you're certain the path will take us through to the coast?
Once my father took me into the small village on the coastal plain. It was called Viasco. The people stared at us in surprise. It was the first time in living memory that the journey had been made.
Is it difficult?
Parts of it, yes. Ropes will be needed for climbing.
It's that bad.
At one point, you will need the ropes to span a deep ravine. How many people will be making the journey?
About 200. That includes a number of women and small children.
My first thought is to say, impossible. But I have learned that desperate people can work miracles.
Well, they must be pretty desperate by now. However, Major Ramsden's column of fugitives was not as desperate as I thought. Making a deal with the commander of the pursuing Waffen SS column had taken a great worry from the major's shoulders. Rather, it did, until Captain Saunders, his second in command, gave vent to his feelings.
Sir, how do we know this Major Scheer will keep his promise?
Well, he gave me his word.
The word of an SS officer?
I hope you're not laughing at me, Captain Saunders.
Well, no, but... Well, it's just the thought of... Well, the SS haven't got a fancy reputation for honorable behavior, have they?
That's true, Saunders, but Major Scheer is a different breed. He'll keep his word, and his reason for making our truce is quite legitimate. Would you like to be sent east to fight the Russian army?
Well, I can't say I would, Major. But what's to stop him having a sudden change of heart? Now, for instance, he might get orders from his headquarters he can't ignore.
His radio's out of commission.
Oh, there are other ways of sending messages.
If Major Scheer found himself in a position where he has to fight us, I think he would give me fair warning.
This isn't a war between knights in shining armor, sir. Chivalry died a long time ago.
I don't think you're in a position to tell me about war, Captain. I went through 3 years in the trenches in the First War, and I've been in military service since. What's your experience?
Well, 2 years.
As an Army Air Force officer, and you were shot down when raiding the Ploesti oil field. Hardly sufficient military experience to conquer a farmyard. I'm a good judge of character, Saunders. Major Scheer will keep his word. Damn it all, the column appears to have stopped. There must be some hold up ahead. Go and see what it is, will you, Saunders?
Heil Hitler. I have brought the prisoner, Herr Major.
Oh, right. All right, Weser. There's no need for all that just because we have a visitor. These Englanders are not so easily impressed. I am Major Gunther Scheer. Please sit down.
I don't mind if I do, Major. The weather's keeping fine, don't you think?
I want to know who you are.
Albert Ryan, Sergeant number 4677612, and that's all I'll be telling you. They're really smart, them black uniforms, aren't they?
You were captured just outside this village while you were spying on us. You are wearing civilian clothes.
Oh, yes, well, let me tell you about that. You see, the army uniform was in ribbons, so a few days ago I burgled the farmhouse and swiped the farmer's clothes.
I could have you shot.
Oh, you wouldn't do that to me now, would you? You know, I'm just a poor squaddy who's fed up with fighting and he wants to go home.
We would all like to go home. Where have you come from?
I was in the prisoner of war camp at Linvac, and there was an air raid one night, and a bomb blew a bloody great hole in the fence, and I went through it like a rat up a pipe. And I've been wandering around the countryside ever since.
Mm. How long ago did this happen?
Oh, it's about 6 weeks ago.
You were carrying a Schmeisser machine gun and a pistol. Hardly in character for a man who claims he is tired of fighting.
Oh, there are some nasty people up in those hills. A man has got to protect himself.
Why were you spying on us?
Oh, I was just curious. I didn't see many Germans in the hills. I suppose you'll be sending me back to the prisoner of war cage.
These wanderings of yours, Sergeant, did you do them alone?
Well, I did have me eye for meeting up with a pretty girl somewhere, but it seems I was out of luck.
By the rules of war, you are a spy and should be shot.
But if I got to wear something, didn't I? I mean, I couldn't very well wander around naked with me sergeant's stripes glued to me arm now, could I? My uniform, it just fell off. You know, it was so ruddy rotten.
Do you know of a Major Ramsden?
No, I can't say that I do.
He is in charge of a large group of escapees. They must be some 20 kilometers further along the road from here. Instead of shooting you, I could send you ahead to join him.
That's a funny idea. And why would you be doing a thing like that?
Call it capriciousness, if you wish. Yeah, that is what I will do. Lieutenant Weser, take Sergeant Ryan 10 kilometers up the track and set him free.
Yeah, here I am.
You'll be giving me guns back, will you?
Certainly not.
Oh, you're a hard man, Major.
I'm sure you'll be provided with all the weapons you need when you join Major Ramsden. I ask for you to do only one thing in return.
Here it comes. Here we go. I will do no spying for you.
No, nothing like that. Just tell Major Ramsden that I have sent you as a sign of good faith.
It sounds odd to me.
Major Ramsden will understand.
No, Paul. Stay back here.
Why? Something wrong?
There is a road ahead. It would be better if we wait until dark before crossing.
Well, if it's just a road, we can dash across it.
No, it is not so easy. If you look at the map Ubeck gave you, you will see that we will have to travel along the road to a bridge. The bridge must be crossed, and it is probably guarded by the Germans. The road is used for carrying military supplies to the coast.
So we have to wait here?
No, there is a cottage close by. The old lady who lives there knows me.
I must avoid delays, Violetta.
They are necessary if we are to succeed. German convoys are frequently ambushed by partisans, which is why the road is heavily guarded. There are patrols, guard towers, and armored cars. To go within 100 meters of the road in daylight is to risk being seen.
All right, you win. Well, let's go and see this old lady. She isn't a witch that lives in a gingerbread house, is she?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
It doesn't matter, just a little joke. I'll explain it later.
Sergeant Albert Ryan, I can use a man like you.
If you don't mind me saying so, I thought my number was up when the Jerrys caught me. I thought it was a bullet for sure.
Yes, Sergeant, you were most fortunate.
Oh, and the boss man gave me a message for you, sir. He said I could go as long as I gave it to you.
A message, you say?
Well, it went something like this, sir. I was to say I was being let go as a sign of good faith, whatever that means. He said you'd understand.
Very good, Sergeant. Yes, I do understand.
I, uh, I was talking to Corporal Ruskin when I first came in. He says there's a lot of Ruskies and Poles here.
Oh, we're a League of Nations army, Sergeant. My adjutant's American. There are some French and Danish ex-prisoners, too. But I'll find your infantry experience useful, Sergeant.
And the others, sir?
What others?
Well, the lad I broke out of the camp with.
Oh, I thought you said you were alone.
Only when I was nabbed by the Jerrys. There's 50 of us all together. We've been wandering around all over the auction, you know, eating and taking what we can.
50? Why, how splendid. All infantrymen like yourself?
Well, no, not exactly, sir. Most of us. But there's 10 Yankee soldiers that got taken in North Africa. Well, you know, they're not bad fellas. They're just a bit green when it comes to foraging for the grub.
Where are they?
Oh, they're about 6 miles from here. There's a valley running parallel to this one, just a bit further north. We was trying to make it to the coast, and one of these hill farmers told us there'd been some fighting over this way, so I came over to take a look-see. I tell you, sir, I was a bit shook up when I saw all them black SS uniforms. For a time, I thought they was going to string me up right there and then.
Can you bring in your companions?
Oh, that's easy, sir. I can have them here by the morning.
Well, I'll be staying here for the night. Bring them by all means. My, my, how splendid. 50 extra men. And he says there are 10 of your own countrymen, Saunders. Soldiers who were taken prisoner in North Africa.
Hey, Lady Agnes is making noises about the rations as it is, sir. Stores are going to get mighty thin with 50 extra bellies to fill.
50 extra men to forage, Saunders. Think of it like that.
Yeah.
A good soldier's trained to live off the land.
If this deal of yours with Major Shear is so great, we can do without them, you know, sir.
My, my. You have turned sour these last couple of days. Is Lady Agnes getting you down?
I guess you could say that. She's like a pet peat nipping at my heels all day. Major, what'll you do with the extra men?
Well, most of them are infantrymen. I'll replace our Russian and Polish rearguard with them. I think their bloodthirstiness could lead to unnecessary clashes with the German patrols.
And what'll you do with the Russians and the Poles?
I want to send them on ahead to Rajek Pass. They can search the western end for signs of this path that will lead us down to the Adriatic. In spite of what everyone tells me to the contrary, I'm sure there must be a way through. I'm sure British intelligence wouldn't send us on a wild goose chase.
I wish I had your faith in mankind, Major.
Cottage is there, but there is something amiss.
Huh? I can't see anything wrong.
She had some pigs and 2 cows. I can't see them. And where is the dog? He can sniff a stranger a kilometer away.
All right. You stay here. I'll go closer and take a look.
No, that is my responsibility. I know the cottage and the outbuildings. Oh,
really, Violetta, you're forgetting that I'm a trained
soldier. Did they teach you about the things that happen in these hills? Do they teach you about treachery and the rivalry of the partisan groups? Please, Paul, stay here and cover me.
I had to admire her stealth as she slowly wriggled forward into an open grassy space which led to the house some 50 yards away. Halfway there, she got to her feet and ran, stooped, to the wall of an outbuilding. She looked inside and then darted to the wall of the cottage. For a few moments, she disappeared from my view. And then I saw her stooping low under a window. Violetta had circled the building, and it was obvious by her caution that something was indeed amiss. Violetta emerged, momentarily glanced through the window, and then sprinted across the grass to my side.
3 men. Partisans. They must have killed the animals. There is a lot of blood in the barn.
What about the old lady?
I don't know. The partisans are sitting at a table, drinking and telling jokes.
Do you know who they are?
Communists. They are part of Pavchek's brigade. They must have penetrated this far since early this morning.
Yes, Karescu said that Pavchek's group had launched an attack.
There must be more of them. The animals must have been killed for food and the carcasses taken away by the others.
There's no reason why they would have killed your friend.
No. They will kill anyone who has helped or in any way supported Karescu. She is dead, as certainly as night will soon fall.
Okay, so let's move out and find a position nearer to the road.
No,
What do you mean, no?
I mean that those men are my enemies. They have killed Mother Karpeska. I can't just walk away and leave them to enjoy their spoils.
Do you mean that...
I will go to the door and shoot them. At the same time, you shoot at them through that window there.
Now, wait a minute.
It will take only a few seconds.
You're crazy. What if there are more of them nearby?
We will shoot them, too.
Now, look, Violetta, my mission is more important than your feelings for revenge.
If you walk for a kilometer that way, you will see a German watchtower through the trees. Wait there for me.
Hang on.
If you have no stomach for this, then I will spare you the horror.
All right. But I'll take the door.
Very well. But wait for me to begin firing through the window before you push open the door. I checked. It is standing ajar. You will find the red pigs directly ahead of you.
I circled the cottage, using some bushes for cover. When I reached the door, Violetta was already stopped under the window, her submachine gun gripped in both hands. She stood up and poked the muzzle through the glass, and then... As I heard the glass break, I kicked open the door. Three men stood up jerkily from a wooden table. They spun around like grotesque puppets and fell with a dull thump to the stone floor. There had been no need for me to open fire. They had stood up directly into Violetta's line of fire. I walked over to the bodies and stared at them. A moment later, Violetta came into the cottage and began searching. Stuffed in a brush cupboard, she found the body of old Mother Karpeska.
The swines have tortured her. Look, do you see the marks? Before we leave, I want to bury her.
But the others might come back.
I don't think so. But if they do, I will be quite happy to fight them.
All right. I suppose there must be a spade somewhere around here.
Ah! There you are, Major Ransdell.
Oh, no.
Really, it's quite preposterous.
What is, Lady Agnes?
The milk situation, of course. I've spoken to your Captain Saunders about it, and he ignored my request for an increase in the ration. The man is callous.
He's merely doing his job.
His job is to starve poor helpless infants. I'd expect it from your Gestapo friends, but certainly not from our own side.
Madam, the Germans are not my friends, as you so fondly believe.
Oh, no. And why did that brute of a lieutenant try to get me drunk on his filthy stolen cognac?
To quieten you down, perhaps?
Well, thank you. Not to cheapen yourself by trying to insult me, Major. Why didn't you ask the Nazis for some powdered milk? Made it part of whatever deal it is you made with them.
Lady Agnes, kindly leave the running of things to me.
I will, if they're done efficiently. I'll bet those Nazis are up to their cauliflower ears in powdered milk.
I have enough supplies to see us through the next 3 weeks. I've ordered extra for the women and the children.
It's not enough.
It's more than they received in the internment camp. Now, please be satisfied. This is not intended to be a Sunday jaunt in the country.
I'm warning you, Major. This callous attitude of yours will be reported to the highest authority when we reach safety. Don't you think we have enough men? If we include Kovacs' partisans, there must be over 300 of us.
Kovacs is only going with us as far as Rajek Pass. And the partisans are providing their own food. Indeed, they've been sharing it with some of our men.
I haven't seen it.
You do surprise me. I thought nothing escaped your eagle eye.
The engineers report two more of our lorries are back in service.
Ah, good. But I don't know for how much longer we can continue using them. Beyond this village, the road peters out to little more than a track. If it rains, the whole column could get bogged down.
The patrols report that the lorries could probably make it for the next 30 kilometers.
Yeah, I hope so. Then we'll abandon them and just use the half tracks. I think you can post orders that I will move out at 6 in the morning. It's been quite comfortable here, but unfortunately good things can't last forever, huh?
Nein, Lingham.
Any sign of Major Ramsden's patrols?
No, Mayor. His Russians and Poles are holding positions about 15 kilometers away. They will probably abandon them tonight.
Yeah, but post lookouts to make sure. We don't want to be caught in any more ambushes. One never knows. The good Major might have had second thoughts about our agreement.
I doubt it, Mayor. The agreement is more to his advantage than our own, and he is well aware of it.
I've been thinking about that Irishman we released this morning.
And the enemy planes flying low.
American Boston.
They're giving our vehicles a pounding.
Well, that's a relief. They're not staying.
They must be heading for a target farther to the east.
Ruffin has his headquarters, I hope.
Our position will have been reported back to their base, Herr Mayor.
I know. There's nothing we can do about it.
They will give us a second strapping on the way home again.
Let's go and check the damage, then leave the lorries here in the village and order the half-tracks to move into the trees.
Yeah, Mayor.
We can afford to lose the lorries, but losing the half-tracks could be a disaster.
The bodies of the partisans lying on the floor of the cottage. By the time we'd finished burying the old lady, the sun had already disappeared behind the western hills, and dusk began to deepen the shadows. Violetta led the way towards the road. The death of her elderly friend had obviously affected her deeply, and she said very little on the journey. At a fork in the track, she took my arm and led me off the path. A few yards farther on, I saw the vague silhouette of a distant watchtower.
It overlooks the road. There is one every 3 kilometers along this stretch of the road. German foot patrols and armored cars operate between them.
Oh, no, I can understand your caution.
Not many convoys pass at night, fortunately, so the patrols are more lax. Our biggest problem will be in crossing the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about the way you crossed the bridge last night with the help of Pavchek's men. You won't find this one so easy.
Oh?
The Germans guard it closely. It won't be so easily tracked.
Is there no other way to cross the river?
For a good swimmer, yes.
Well, then we can swim across.
I never learned to swim.
How wide is it?
About 100 meters.
And does water frighten you?
It will take more time than we have to spare for you to teach me to swim.
All you have to do is to lie back and relax in the water. I'll do all the work.
You make it sound very simple.
Well, it is, as long as you don't panic and put up a struggle.
All right, I'll tell you the truth. I'm afraid of water.
More than you're afraid of Germans and Pavchek's men?
It might sound stupid, but yes. When I'm close to water, I feel as though I'm about to fall in and drown. Some people are like that about heights.
Well, we might be lucky and find a boat.
The Germans destroyed all the boats.
Okay, Violetta, how are you planning to cross the bridge?
By climbing across the girders underneath. It has been done before.
By you?
Well, no.
I don't like that idea. Look, let's cross the road and get as close to the bridge as possible. We'll worry about it then.
An armored car. It will call to the next watchtower, then come back this way in about 15 minutes.
Right. Let's make a run for it.
No, not yet. Wait and listen.
We're lucky that this...
Listen.
Hey, we're not alone.
It could be a patrol or even Pavchek's men.
Well, I hope it's not.
Shh. I want to hear their voices. Germans. A patrol is coming this way. Keep absolutely still and pray they don't walk into us.
Violetta and I cowered deep in the foliage of a bush, expecting to feel the sudden thud of bullets in our bodies. And then we realized the guns were not being fired in our direction. About 300 meters away, a skirmish was being fought between a German patrol and a partisan group.
I thought it would be a very good idea to take advantage of the confusion and make a dash across the road. But Violetta held me back.
No, Paul.
What?
You must stay here.
Come on, don't be ridiculous. Don't you see this is a tremendous opportunity? They're busy fighting each other.
Watch what happens, Paul.
Huh?
And listen.
Hey, the armored cars come back.
Yes. The patrols are in radio contact with it. Others will arrive soon.
We could be trapped here.
I know. But to move would be certain capture or death.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.